Good. This is, now here we go, guys. We are at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, the end of Avoda. The Rambam's talking about Karbanos. What would you say? Karbanot. It's a long Rambam. I can't see Ruxet right now. Here we go. Ra'ui, this is a famous Rambam. Ra'ui lo'adam lehisponein. It's about chukim. It's about looking for the reasons for mitzvos. And it fits for our yeshiva, where we take this seriously. Ra'ui lo'adam lehisponein b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-Kadosha v'leid ha-sof inyanam kifi kocho. It's proper for a person to think about the mitzvos of the Torah and to understand them as much as he can. Kifi kocho. In other words, every person has a different level of intelligence and what he can figure out. But you're supposed to figure out to the best of your ability. So you're supposed to try to figure things out. V'davar shelo yimsalo tam v'lo yedalo ilo. What if you can't figure out the reason? Al yikal v'enav. V'al yaharos lalo sel Hashem pen yifrotz bo. That's quoting a pasuk, a play of the words on a pasuk. Don't say, oh, it doesn't make sense. Oh, God made a mistake, chas v'shalom. You can't, to be porates, to rise up against Hashem. V'lote machshavto bo k'machshavto b'asher divrei achol. Don't think about the way you think about other things. You know, to say that Belichick made a mistake in his play calling, that you're allowed to do. You know, that is, he's a coach in America. So the Havdul Alfi Avdalos, Chas V'Shalom, there's no mistakes in the Torah. And that means no mistakes in the Torah as explained to us by Chazal. Don't start attacking Chazal, Chas V'Shalom. Now, Borei, Kamich Mir Tova Mi'ilah. But now he's saying as follows. We have to treat the Torah with a lovely spell. And he brings Me'ilah. What is Me'ilah? Me'ilah is, what's Me'ilah? You can't get Hanar from Hektish. If I take a rock and I say, this rock is Hektish, then you can't sit on it. It's a rock. Once Hashem's name is associated with that, you made it Hektish. That's Me'ilah. Even if it's b'shogeg, you have to kapara. Kal v'chomer le'mitzvos shechokak lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yivat adam behen. Don't kick them mipnei shelo yada taimam, because you don't know the reason. God gave us a mitzvah. It's directly God given. It's wonderful. It's special. It's holy. It's emes. If a rock, that's a it's a rock. If I say the rock is holy, it has kedusha, you can't sit on it. So God's mitzvah, kal v'chomer, you can't play around with chas v'shalom and be boeit bo and reject it, God forbid. You got it? Yeah, be very careful, guys. Listen up. This is a big yisod. There are mitzvos that might be hard for us to understand. So what do we do? What do you do if you don't understand the mitzvah? What do you do? What? We do them. Good. We do them for sure. Good. What else do we do? Try to figure it out. Learn the Sefer HaChinuch. Learn Rav Hirsch. Nowadays, we learn Rav Aryeh Kaplan. And then after that, you speak to Rav Rosenblatt. Shalita Yivado Ben Chaim Mochaim. Speak to Rabbi Rosenblatt. You try to figure it out. What? Oh, very good. Oh, very good. You try to figure it out. And what if you don't figure it out? You do it anyway. You say to yourself, you know what? I don't understand this fully. I can't understand it fully. I don't understand it, so... you don't understand. Guys, it's a big problem. You have to be sensitive to this. Nowadays, what goes on nowadays is people absorb Western values. They assume the Western values inherently make sense. Then they start, God forbid, judging the Torah based on that. And then they, for example... There's a mitzvah of Milchias HaMalek. You've got to wipe out a Malek. Man, woman, and child. So for some people, they say, what is that? The innocent kids. And so, okay. So that's a question you can ask. You ought to ask that question. And then there are answers to that question. But because of that question, what do they say? They say, no. Maybe the Torah didn't mean it that way. Maybe nowadays it's not really a mitzvah anymore. Maybe it doesn't really. Maybe Bisman the Mashiach they'll change it. I don't know. You know, and the Imam starts saying Kfira. You with me? To have a question that a mitzvah you don't understand that bothers you, you're allowed to ask, but you're not allowed to say, "Well, I'm going to change the mitzvah because of that." And people do it. They say, "We'll change the mitzvah." People say things like, "Yeah, Chazal." People say, Chazal took the mitzvah in the Torah and changed it to make it more palatable. They call that rabbinic Judaism, Mosaic Judaism, and rabbinic Judaism. They say the Torah was anti-women about the mitzvah of Sota, and Chazal made it different. The people say that. It's not a shiur. It's all from Hashem. The Torah is from Hashem too. It starts from us sitting in judgment of the Torah. You're not allowed to sit in judgment of the Torah. The Torah is perfect. God's perfect. The mitzvahs are perfect. Charsha Peh explains to us what the mitzvahs are. Are you allowed to say, "I have a question I don't understand"? Absolutely. In order to answer, ask. Work. Start doing the research. Try to find an answer that talks to you. Try to find an answer that fits for you. Do the best. You ought to do that. Especially in our yeshiva, we do that. Learn the chinuch. Learn Rav Hirsch. I found on Karbanos, Rav Hirsch changed my life. A lot of things about Karbanos is Rav Hirsch explained in detail how it fits and why it's there. This is a big thing. When it comes to giving the reasons for mitzvahs, the Rambam and the chinuch give the reasons. They give general reasons. Rav Hirsch likes to explain every detail as well. It's an amazing thing. In other words, the Rambam's reasons for the mitzvahs don't always go to every detail. The Rav Hirsch gives every detail, explains every detail, fits in as well. It's his style. I'll just give you one example, because it's about Karbanos. You shech the Karbanos, most Karbanos are in the north of the Azara. Why the north? So Rav Hirsch says the north corresponds inside the Keichal. On the south was the menorah, on the north was the Shulchan. So outside in the Azara, the north corresponds to the Shulchan. The Shulchan represents, what does Shulchan represent? What does Shulchan represent? What? What does the Shulchan represent? Any ideas? The Shulchan had the Lechem upon him. What? The Shulchan. What does the Shulchan represent? Had the Lechem upon him on it. It represents wealth and gashmias. Apparently you haven't read all the books yet. Rav Hirsch says that the Lechem upon him were like this with and facing up on the side. So what's the message? If you have money? Very good. Okay, good. Yeah, it's like he read it, but it doesn't mean he knows it. That's like, we'll get to that in a second. That's a good joke. 1 second. So you see, Lechem Panim were like this, right? Why were they like this? Rav Hirsch says, what's the message? If you have money, you used to hold up the person above you. Because each one was like holding up the one above. You with me? Anyways, Rav Hirsch says, when you do an Aveira, what does it mean when you do an Aveira? You've had a little bit of an imbalance in your Ruchnias Gashmias. Too much Gashmias over the Ruchnias. So when you shecht the animal, it's like you're killing the extra Gashmias. So where do you shecht it? In the north. Because the north is the side of the Azara that represents Gashmias. You hear? Rav Hirsch. Anyway, I told you, that's Rav Nevensal's joke. The Gra says, if you go to a Siyum, you get schar as if like the guy that learned it. So Nevensal said, you get the schar, but it doesn't make you a Talmud Chacham. As the only one who did the learning becomes a Talmud Chacham. You with me? That applies to you. You make a schar for the sign, but it doesn't mean you know it unless you read it. Okay, fine. Because when you do an Aveira, you've got to listen to your Gashmias. So the Shechita of the animal, in a sense, is like you're killing too much God. Where do you kill the Gashmias? In the north, which represents Gashmias. That's an example where he gives you the it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, for me, Rav Hirsch changed my whole view of Karbanos changed with Rav Hirsch. Let's go on. Here we go. Now, guys, so far so good? So there are mishpatim and there are chukim. What are the chukim? Mitzvot she'ain taiman yadua. Mitzvot that we don't understand the reasons. Einucha rishulus chahara behen. Don't question them. The yitzro shadam nokfo behem. Your yitzhar is nokfe. What does that mean? It bothers you. I don't understand this mitzvah. Umas olam hashimna, and the goyim complain about it. The goyim, oh, this doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing it? Nowadays, unfortunately, it's not the non-Jews that complain. It's the non-Orthodox. Okay, that's a problem. But anyway, that's what happens. The Kamahi David Melch Mitzar Min Aminim. David had problems from all the Minim. Oh, here he says, the Minim, the Afrikarsim. The Rambam says it too. Not just the non-Jews. The goyim. The Meshibin al Chukim. Oh. You got it? So be very careful, guys. It's okay to have a question. It's okay to say, I don't understand fully. Please explain it to me more. I want to work it out. I want to look up the Mefarshim as best I can. But it's not okay to say, this mitzvah is bad, this mitzvah is wrong, this mitzvah is immoral. Chas v'shalom. People, chas v'shalom. I'll give you a similar. It's good you guys don't know about this, but whatever. There are people that write articles, they claim they're Orthodox. They say, Avram failed the Akedah. Why? Because what should he have done? He should have said, no, I'm not going to kill my son. That's immoral. And he didn't say that. You with me? People say that in articles. That's terrible. Anyway, now, so far so good. Now we're ending Karban. Here's the Rambam. If you have a question, you ought to have a question. You can have, every chok, there is some reason behind the chok too. It's not a reason that's so noticeable. The Sfarim give reasons for chukim, and they do the best they can, and they try to give. You know, even a chok has some message behind it. It's not a reason that jumps out at you. It's not a reason that we call a standard. You know, 2 + 2 = 4 reason. There are reasons for that too as well. Everything has a reason.
There's a reason that why it's making sense.
Excuse me?
There are reasons.
Of course, the Rav first explains everything. Rav first explains everything. He tries to explain everything. Either in Chorev or his parish on the Chumash. See, Rav first in his parish on the Chumash, he does something. Every mitzvah, he gives you all the halachas of the mitzvah first, then he gives you the reasons. And the reason is tells. Excuse me? Chorev also. Chorev is like the basic. They have what? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, have an English. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. The answer to what? Because God told you, do what Hashem says. Hashem is the most moral person in the world. Hashem knew, what I'm saying is obvious. Hashem knew that for Avram to reach the level of being the first Jew with the full Mesiris Nefesh, with the Kochos, we have spiritual genes in us from our forefathers. Hashem knew that Avram needed to pass this ultimate test so that his descendants would have this koach of listening to God, and they would survive in the Holocaust and keep their emunah and survive in the thousands of years. It's obvious. That's what there's another reason. Of course, that's what I had to happen. And what if my reason's not right? So there's another reason. But the chas v'shalom, you can't even think. It's terrible. People do. It's terrible. Guys, you have to hear the basics. God is perfect. The mitzvos are perfect. Torah Shabbat explains the mitzvos. Now, and here's the end. The korbanos mikala chukim heim. The korbanos are all chukim. Why exactly this animal and that animal? It's a chok. We don't understand fully. And the Chazal say, "Alavodas korbanos haolam omei." If you do the chukim, even if you don't understand them fully, you get olam haba. And the Torah very often puts the chukim before the mishpatim. Ushmartim es kukosai, v'es mishpatai. Why? Hashem knows it's hard to keep the chukim. I don't know the reason, I don't want to keep it. Hashem gives us chizak. The chukim come first. You've got to keep the chukim. If you keep the chukim, it shows you have the right approach, the right attitude. God's smarter than I am. That's just the way it is. And I don't understand. Okay, I don't understand. I'll ask. I'll try to figure it out. To ask a question, I assume it makes sense. I know it makes sense. I know the Torah is perfect. But I don't understand something, you're allowed to ask. And do the research. To question, I don't know. Maybe the mitzvah has to be changed. And people say these things. They say these things. Anyway, let me just say one more thing, just to get it out of my system. See, it starts from this is what happens, and what I'm saying now is unfortunately true, and it's terrible. People question the rabbinic leadership of the generation. Oh, these rabbis don't know what's going on. They're not in touch with the women's feelings and feminine. So they go against what the big rabbis say. You with me? Let's say women rabbis. No great rub supports it, okay? But they don't care. Okay, all the government doesn't matter. So you go against it. Now, that leads to questioning the authority of the Shulchan Aruch and of Chazal. Why? Because deep down, I know these great rabbanim know Shas better than I do. They know Shas. So if I'm questioning them, they're just presenting what the Torah Shel Peh is really holding. So therefore, I can question Chazal too. Now, deep down, people know that what is Chazal? 99% of what Chazal say is what? Explaining Torah Shel-Peh that who gave? That God gave to Moshe. So it's a very direct line. It's a very direct line that one thing leads to another. The lack of kavod, if you reject what all the gedolim say, you end up lacking kavod and the proper awe and respect for Chazal, and that leads to lacking kavod to how to deal with the Chumash, and that leads to unwalling, or leads to Ktira. That's what happens. So I'll tell you. My view is not to argue with them. My view is that if you have to be solid with where you're holding. Most of the time, the people that you're not going to argue. You're not going to win an argument. It's not for you to argue. It's for you to be solid, to know what you hold, to have it clear, to have it MS. The system works. We've had a great system for several thousand, and it works, and it will continue to work. And here and there, we have to make an adjustment called a chiddush, like the Beis Yaakov movement. And certain things, we make an adjustment, but we don't change anything. That's the base of everything. And the system works. And anyone who changes things, it fails. Conserved Judaism is imploding. Why is it imploding? Because it's sheker. Sheker. How do you argue? How do you argue with someone? Here's the argument you give. The argument. Once you leave Orthodoxy, you're finished. Try to find one conservative shul with a grandfather and a father and a son sitting in the same row. And they're both sincere. They're sincere. You don't find it. And Tinek, you find it all over the place. Silverstein, you find it all over the place. Why? Because Orthodoxy works. And Orthodoxy is as defined by what the rabbinic leadership says. They're smarter than we are. They have 100 year glasses. If there's a case where the gedolim argue, okay. Sometimes that's different. The gedolim argue, right? The gedolim argue how to view the Medina. Okay. The gedolim argued bas mitzvah parties. There was a huge machlokas about that. A gigantic machlokas. Is it okay to have bas mitzvah? Some say yes. Some say no. Right. The Gedolim argued about women learning higher level Torah. So, but think, if all the Gedolim say something, there's a reason why. Now, so that's the fun response. Then, for yourself, I'll give you all the articles to read. Read about Meir Tversky Shlita's articles. I'll send them on Torah Web, and you try to get a sense of where we're holding it. And then we'll have a debate if you want. But when you have to understand for yourself what the... Torah is not just about mutter, usser, right and wrong. It's about attitude. There's an attitude. The attitude is, I'm conservative with a small c. I'm not in a rush to change. I'm not in a rush to change anything. It's a great system. It's worked perfectly. So I didn't. That's what you have to say to people. How do you make sure your kids? Multi-million-dollar question. So number one, you believe it yourself, and you choose the right wife who believes the same thing you believe. That's number one. And that's how you talk at home. How do you talk at home? The local shul rabbi. How do you talk at home about the leading gedolim? How do you talk about Chazal at your Shabbos table? How do you talk about Chazal? Somebody says, oh yeah, somebody said that the rabbis... What do you do when that happens at your Shabbos table? And the schools you send your kids to? How do they talk about the Rabbanim and Chazal? That's how it starts. And then, if your kids have questions, so you deal with them as best you can. But there's a base. There's a base of how you start. It starts from you. What's your view? What's your wife's view? What is the tone of your Shabbos table? Is the tone of your Shabbos table reverent about the leading Rabbanim, Kavod? Or not. Your kids pick things up. A great rabbi says something. Right? The Gedolim argue. And you follow one view. What do you say about the other view? Oh, he's crazy about that. Okay, so your kids learn. The Gedolim are crazy. You say, look, the Gedolim argue. Here and there, we got to choose what to do. So I follow my rabbi and say to follow this Gedolim. He's also a great Gedolim. See the difference? That's a big difference. I just said the same thing very differently. So, if I say it the first way, my kids pick up, hey, you can knock out Gedolim here and there. The second way is, the Gedolim are the Gedolim. But sometimes it's the Mahos. You choose, and you follow your Mesorah, who to choose. It's not so simple. sure? Yeah, I think that's a good thing. People pay with the gedolim cards, you know, the gedolim card, that's a very yeshivish thing. Torah cards, it's a yeshivish thing to do. I'm not against that. But guys, how do you do it? It starts from you. Why do we talk about the same things all the time? Because it's got to sink in somewhere. I was lucky. It sank in high school. Rabbi Einemer, that's my Rebbe. I got this sense of Kavod HaTorah from him and Rabbanim. And then it sinks in. Rav Shechter repeats himself all the time. God gave the Torah word for it, letter for letter. He talks about Chazal. Because it has to sink in. And it's you, and it's your wife, and it's your Shabbos table, and it's the school you choose to send your kids to. What's the tone? What's the tone in the school? Is the tone reverent for the Gedolim and the leading Rabbanim? It's a good question you asked. But it starts from you now. And if you have questions now that are bothering you, ask them now and work it out. To go through life with this bugging me, that's a problem. Because when you're 27, then you're going, I don't know, I'm not sure about Chazal, because you have a kasha, you have something that bothers you about Chazal, let's say, and you never work it out. So because of that, you're not going to jump in fully to the Masorah, because that bothers you. So go speak to people. In our yeshiva, you can speak to anyone. Speak to Rav Shai. Speak to Rav Chaim. Speak to, I don't know, everyone. You can go to anyone here to discuss these things. Talk to me too. You know, Rav Nevin Zal Shlita. Rav Nevin, you say for the end. In other words, if nothing else works, you know, you go off the ladder, basically. What? Who? Well, absolutely. Rav Nevin Zal has got a sense of humor, that's for sure. But again, there are certain basic things. There are certain basic things. When you leave them so it fails. I'm hearing myself. What can I tell you? Who started JTS? Well-meaning, misguided Orthodox rabbis. You understand that? It's a terrifying statement. 100 years ago. Yeah, they were well-meaning. They thought that they're going to help. They thought they were going to help things. They weren't bad people. Chas v'shalom. No, they were. All their money were against it, but they felt, you know, they felt we can make it better. They were well-meaning. Okay, fine. Rav Salvechik made similar comparisons. What? No, JTS. That's Jewish Theological Seminary. That's the conservative seminary where they make conservative rabbis. So it's a scary thought. You asked a good question. You listen to Rabbanim speak, how they talk. You want to answer your question? You listen to Rabbi Baruch Simon, Shlitim, Give Shirin. The way he talks about the poskim. The way he talks about the poskim. Yeah, for parenting. Fair, firm, and friendly, yeah. With what?
Dealing with crowds you don't want to deal with.
Okay, fine. Yeah, see, it's like this. We should stop now. I'll give you my 2 cents. I'm not worried about how you answer. I'm worried about how you answer yourself. This is like a whole shita in life here. You have to be solid. If you're solid, that's not true. Your family's solid. Your kids are solid. How to answer? Okay, good. That's another question. How to answer? Good. That's the next level. You want to help somebody else. Well, you have to be fully convinced. This is the MS, and it is the MS. The stuff going on out there, guys. It's scary stuff. And you have to be. I'll just tell you one thing. Rabbi Twersky wrote an article in the late 1990s, and he said, the feminist push will lead to assimilation. Why? Because you want to make a women's minion where they sort of do certain things, not other things, right? He said, but the bottom line is, the real feminists believe men and women must be exactly the same. But they can't be exactly the same in the halacha. You can't be exactly the same. So when you make a minion that's like this, it's not going to solve the problem, because they want it to be more and more. So in the late 1990s, he went on and he said that pushing these minyanim will lead to other minyanim where they violate halacha more and they're more assimilated and da da da. 15 years later, that's exactly what happened. Put that in my book. That what he predicted, it actually happened. That women's minyanim began getting together for minyan, then it led to, well, getting aliyahs, and they found a way. You know you can get an aliyah? How can you get an aliyah? You're not going to say brachos without a minyan of men. How do you get an aliyah? You save your morning birchos hatorah. and say it before you get your aliyah. People did this. Then the next stage is, well, what about Kabbalah Shabbos? Kabbalah Shabbos, there's no Baruch Hu, there's no Kaddish. Why can't a woman say Kabbalah Shabbos for the men's minyan? And then Psukhi Zimra. That's what's happening. Then you have partnership minyanim, and they're not Orthodox, these minyanim. So it's mamash amazing. Some do, some don't. I don't know. I'm not sure. But the point is, he predicted it, and it happened. It's amazing. I had the articles in my book. I put them one after the other. I said it's almost prophetic. You with me? Because if your goal is, you have to be exactly the same in the Western world, being equally important means being the same. We don't believe that. There are different roles. It's not the same. I'm not a Kohen either. Different roles, there are different roles. You with me? So Chacham Adif Minavi, Rabbi Tversky's articles are almost edit. What can I tell you? It's a Gemara, I think. Chacham Adif Minavi. Yes. How do you know? Ah, I think it's I quoted it in my book. It's my Hanukkah book. It's in my Hanukkah book. I only know what's in my books. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, good. I'll answer that too. What do you have? You have guests over Basher Show Rabbi. So you try to say it in a nice way. No, we don't talk about that at our Shabbos table. Our Shabbos table is positive. Say it gently. That's number one. And number two, if your Shabbos table, you, the father, you're singing Zmiros, and you're saying nice Divrei Torah, and you're talking about pleasant things and old family stories that are and that's what and you're reading Harav, no, what if? So you're not going to have the vacuum open for that to happen. But at our Shabbos table, we only talk positive things. You say something like that. And it won't happen. If people know what you're like, it won't happen. It won't happen. And if it does, it happens once. No, we don't talk about it. You with me? You can't fool your kids. Either you respect the rabbi, you don't respect the rabbi. What do I do at the Shabbos table? I say over 35 seconds. He speaks 35 minutes. 40 seconds, what he says at the what he says to people. Know we talk about what the rabbi says at the table. Then the kids know that you respect the show rabbi. And then what happens maybe? Your son marries his daughter. Okay, whatever. Okay. You got it? You never know. You get that? Yes.
Rav Shai Shlita was eavesdropping as normal, and he pointed out that obviously when you're talking about what to do for one's children to stay solid and stay strong, obviously tefillah plays a major role, and certainly that should be a major part of the mix. One of my rebbeim once said, Hashem built the world in a way that tefillah is how Hashem wants to govern the world. So tefillah becomes like the ultimate hishtadlus. It's a beautiful way of approaching tefillah. Tefillah is the ultimate hishtadlus. Since Hashem said the way He governs the world is through responding to tefillah, so we have to know that whatever we try to do, and if we want our kids to stay solid and strong in their avod Hashem and their hashkafas, etc., so tefillah certainly plays an important role. I just wanted to add that this sense of respect for Rabbanim, which Baruch Hashem I developed at a younger age, it really came through the example of my parents. They should live and be well. My parents have tremendous respect for Rabbanim. They had a lot of respect for the local Rabbanim. And in the several decades that I remember my parents' Shabbos table, I never remember them criticizing the local show rabbi or the other leading rabbis in the community. So at our Shabbos table, we learned by example to have respect for the leading rabbanim. And that led to having respect for the other rabbanim, leading rabbanim that we came in contact with. And I give my parents a lot of credit for this. I thought everyone was like this. Then later, when I got older, I realized, no. At a lot of Shabbos tables, unfortunately, the quote-unquote Oneg Shabbos is making fun, poking fun at the local Rabbanim. My mother said that one of the strongest lines in one of my books, Baruch Hashem, is, I said, my parents, for so many years, never criticized the shul rabbi at the Shabbos table. The silence was deafening, and we listened. And that's exactly what happened. And if one starts with that model at home, then there's a much better chance of success for oneself and one's children in developing the proper Kavodah Torah that one needs to have all the time, and especially in our generation. Okay, we'll stop here.